Join the club. We're just going to let Zach and JJ talk because I'm in that same. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the side quest where none of us did anything this week except for those two fine gentlemen below me. And they're just talking about stuff. I'm Dolly Domofsky. Joining me is, I think this one of these directions is Aaron Scratty Bones Kelly, Twitch affiliate Kelly.
Ask me what I did 15 minutes ago.
What hast thou done 15 minutes ago?
I made 30 chicken nuggets and then soaked them in 1 million Scoville hot sauce and then ate them.
Holy shit.
And it is the weakest hot sauce I have.
Oh my God. Are you like literally going to run over to the bathroom at some point during the show?
No, I'm fine.
You're fine? Okay. That's
good. No, I'm good. I could go on hot ones right now and just ride the 10-wing train.
I could go on hot ones right now. That's a dare, internet. Aaron's going to go on hot ones. Also joining me, the one, the only, the double underscore J.
Yeah.
The underscore double underscore J.
Yeah.
JJ. Yeah. How's it going, man?
I'm doing great.
That's good. That's good. Loving the beards. Two people with beards, two people without beards.
Beards on the bottom here.
Beards on the bottom. Also joining us, making his return appearance. It's been a while, but good old Zachary Quest. Let's just call him Quest. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Gaming.
Yeah. The ones playing games. What the hell's going on in the air? Are you having a disco party over there?
No, I got some bullshit installing, and every time Windows goes, hey, we're installing a thing, and it dims all your monitors, so you have to focus on it.
That's awesome. That is professional. Don't worry about it. I'm on like my fourth reboot of my computer to try to get this thing to work. Well, we're going to have a good time tonight. We're going to talk about video games as usual. Let's do this. Aaron, you and I will go first because we've been playing the least.
Okay.
Why don't you tell me what you've been playing?
I played a little bit more of Assassin's Creed Origins, which I talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
About 20 minutes worth.
Okay.
And I haven't played anything else.
I am about to show you the Assassin's Creed game that I purchased just now.
Was it Ghost of Tsushima?
Assassin's Creed Origins, another 20 minutes. Does the game make you want to come back to it, or are you just...
No, I've just been super busy.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I've been super busy, and I've been getting home, and here's how my week went. Wednesday, I got off work at 6:30, and I got home, and I was asleep by 6:45, and then I woke up at 3 in the morning, and I was like, I can't get coffee till 5, I'm not playing anything. And that's been my week.
That's been your, holy shit. God, I don't envy you. I've been sort of in that same, I don't want to say funk, but this back problem, which I talked about last week. The whole sciatic nerve and all that crap. And just real busy. Like this week has been, we've been having like a lot of big old teleconference town halls at work, like state of the business type of stuff, but that drains you. So by the time you're done with your work day, you just want to sleep. You don't really want to put your face in front of any screens. But I did pick up, because it was on sale, and I'm stupid, the Rogue, the Assassin's Creed, sorry, the Rebel Collection. For Switch. It was on sale at Best Buy, so I thought, you know, I've had Assassin's Creed 4. In fact, I'm staring at the Wii U version over there, which I'm still trying to sell. Somebody buy it for me. and I never played Rogue. I only played a little. I played enough of Black Flag to love it, and then I stopped playing it. And then Rogue, I never touched. And I figured for this price, and I can probably sell it later on for like $15. So in the end, it's like a $5 rental when I think about it. So I'll play that at some point. Obviously haven't opened yet. It just showed up today. I have been playing God of War, so I'm halfway through the game finally. Still think Kratos is an asshole. Halfway through the game, he is just not a good father. I'm looking forward to jumping back into Spider-Man and playing that because that's a good dad game, according to Aaron. So
yeah,
that was our game of the year. So I'll be playing that, I think, afterwards. And then I'll probably hop into the original Last of Us. So I'm really going down my backlog on the PS4 in anticipation of the PS5. And I played a little bit of Breath of the Wild. So I figured, you know, I think I'm finally going to play that, finish that game. So that's where I'm at with that. About time. Oh, about time gosh. I finished Breath of the Wild. So yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Nothing special. Just yeah. Same old, same old, same old. What about you two fine gentlemen? It seems like you guys have been playing a lot. First of all, have either of you been playing something that's not Ghosts of Tsushima? Ghost of Tsushima. Good Lord.
Okay, JK,
let's start with you, and then we'll kind of end with the ghost talk for both of you guys.
I haven't played Ghost of Tsushima yet. I just own it. I don't have
All right. That's good. JJ, tell me about what you have been playing, and then we'll finish up with Zach here.
I've been playing around with the Oculus Quest a lot more.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. That's a thing.
I've figured out how to use, funnily enough, SideQuest, which is the side loading app for the Quest. And so I found a Virtual Boy emulator, which
you mentioned that, and I'm so excited about
it. It works exceptionally well. Like,
really?
Yeah. It plays. I mean, there's only 15 games for the thing, but it handles the 3D very well. Virtual Boy had good 3D. It was just a pain in the ass. It works, and you can change the color of it so it's not blaringly red. It has little sliders. You can make it any color you want. You want it gray, it could be gray. You want it green, it could be green. Yeah. It doesn't help at all, but it's...
Yeah. They had tried to make... I mean... They actually had the Virtual Boy running in RGB, all three colors, and they decided to cut costs. I guess was it to cut costs to bring it down to just one color, because those RGB, those LED lights, right? Yeah. They're expensive.
Yeah, and you have to have two sets of them in there.
Yeah,
you're doing the whole thing. But it's great. Like, there's a couple of really good Virtual Boy games. There really are. Like,
did you have any of the games before?
I have still Wario, Tennis, and Tetris.
Okay.
I got to finally play Jack Brothers, which is the Megami Tensei game that was released.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah, you're right. You mentioned that. Yeah.
It is a very rare Virtual Boy game that I'm not going to spend hundreds of dollars on to own. But it's fun. It's just like a multi-level collect the keys, and you're playing as the Jack Brothers. You get to play Jack Frost, Jack Lantern and whatever.
Jack be nimble.
Jack Black.
You get to play Jack Black. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's good. It's just it's a simple little game, and it's really fun and charming. Doesn't really use a whole lot of 3D, but
I'm gonna say this. Well, first of all, I still have my Virtual Boy sitting around. The cable that attaches to the actual display.
Yeah.
Like, it's a known problem that the cable can kind of fall apart and you have to sort of resolder it or remelt it back on. And I don't feel like going through that trouble.
Yeah.
I will say, I mean, I actually enjoyed the stupid Mario Tennis game that was on there for some weird reason. I liked that game. And I remember I had the baseball game as well, which wasn't that good.
Mario Clash is pretty good too.
Yeah, like, Mario Clash, I had that as well.
That's pretty good. But the Wario Land game is easily like the best game on there. There's also Water World. Like, they made a
Water World out of nowhere. Yeah, yeah. And they were making a StarCraft game at one point, right?
I remember hearing that. Yeah,
I would love to. I know everyone talks about getting an N64 Mini. Dude, give me a Virtual Boy Mini, dude. Just like a viewfinder level Virtual Boy. Put the controls on the side here. That'd be awesome.
It would have been like a really good like Labo app. You know?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yep, it would have. Oh, that would have been awesome. Yeah. Yeah, get the you get the Labo. You build it, dude. Yeah, okay. Yep, you figured it out. Because the actual VR is like vomit inducing on Labo right now.
It is. And they have like Lambda VR, which is just Half-Life 1, like in complete VR.
Wow. Half-Life Alyx, the original, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Playing the hot new Half-Life game in VR that everyone's talking about, Half-Life 1. Almost the same age as the Virtual Boy itself at this point.
Wow, yeah, that's true.
Like, there's like a 3-year difference between those two. It's great in VR. Like, I don't know, it's... It works. Like, it actually has motion controls in this attached. So when you have the crowbar, you have to actually swing. Yeah. It's a really impressive little VR conversion.
Hmm.
But yeah, like, I'm I'm really playing around with some of this. There's some interesting stuff that's just like not on the Oculus store that you could just get for free and sideload in there. And there's some.
So you can get you can get stuff on Steam as well, right? With the have you got that working?
Well, yeah, I've got the Oculus Link stuff working really well. So it's
Have you downloaded any of the? I think there's that app that lets you play NES games in VR.
I do. 3D. The 3D thing. Yeah, I have tried that out. It works really well. It's weird
That's
to see
terrifying.
Like it's weird to see Castlevania like as like a diorama almost.
Wow,
like,
cool.
And you can kind of like look around the stage, like look behind it and stuff. It's interesting. I like that. But yeah,
cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm playing around, and it runs, you know, APK files. So if there's like a Google Cardboard Android VR app, it can run it. Like,
oh, sweet.
Basically. So yeah. So I'm just learning that kind of stuff. And I'm playing Ooblets. That's the other
thing. Ooblets. I think both of you guys are playing Ooblets, right?
Yeah.
So tell me about Ooblets, gentlemen. Tell me about Ooblets.
Wait, before you say anything, start off by answering this question.
Okay.
Should I buy this game right now while we're on the show?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, we're doing it. That's it.
All right, you guys start talking. I'll be right back. I gotta get a payment option. I'm ready.
So Ooblets is an interesting game. I will say there's some weird design choices they made, like the tire system. Like you can't go to sleep at any time you want to. So like if the town spawns items that you need to like donate to build stuff or use to like craft something, blah blah blah. But like if you get all the stuff that's in town, you can't just like go to sleep. Like you have to, you like have to make your guy tired or just wait till it gets dark. So there's some small things like that that are like weird, but it's surprisingly like really solid though. There's a lot of cool stuff in
there. And it's still early access. So, we lost our fearless leader. So that's good. So we're just talking to the.
I'm back.
All right, you're back.
Sorry about that.
Everyone's back now. Everyone's back. Yeah. It's still early access, so I feel like some of those complaints will probably be addressed at some point.
But. Yeah, it's surprisingly solid, which is a lot to say for like a early access game. I did soft lock myself twice. I had to restart the game twice.
Yeah.
Like there's these big pile of cans in the middle of the city. So you have to pick up these cans that you can convert into bait to fish. And it's a part of like one of your quests to do on the second day. But on the first day, like walking through, I picked up all the cans and I sold them. So then, like I had this quest is like get the cans in town and turn them into bait. I was like, oh, so I had to restart.
Okay.
So
that seems, that seems like something that they'll fix. No one would hope.
Yeah. It's actually kind of crazy how big it is too, because there's another town that you can go to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's like the main hub. There's another town. It's just a lot of grind to get there, but it's fun. It's relaxing. Yeah. You get to dance.
It's interesting because it really is like Animal Crossing, but Stardew Valley, but with a bit of Pokemon in it, and a touch of Viva Pinata. So it's very neat, and I just like the battle system being dance based. Playing it's a card based dance battle system.
I love this visual style because it really reminds me of what was it? The Goose Game, Untitled Goose Game. Like it has that sort of painterly polygonal. I like it. So
in town, there's a bunch of like items you can pick up and stuff. Like here's like a cloth plant, like mushrooms, blah blah blah. But you can also grow those on your own farm. But like everything in the game is kind of revolves around these resources, not really money. You use money to buy like furniture and like clothes really, and you get like stars to redeem to get things for the town. So when you want to challenge an Ooblet, they usually require a resource or like a snack. So like if you see like, this one's in town today and I know like that snack, I'm going to make that, bring it to him. And then you have a dance off and then you get a seed and you take that seed to your farm and you plant it and you water it until it grows, and then you have a friend, and then you can make it like be your slave on your farm.
That's kind of cool, it's got
a really cute like the script, like the words and stuff, like they just use a lot of like fake made up words or like, you know, like nicknames for things that just keep going through. It's adorable. I really like the writing in it. That's a lot.
So there's this girl in town. Her name's Outgrid instead of Ingrid. It's funny.
It's the whole script has been really sort of super charming, and there's a lot of good goofs in it and stuff. So yeah, and all of the townspeople are all,
they're all characters.
Yeah, they're all like, every one of them's weird in their own way. It's a very like Link's Awakening style situation where it's just like everyone's just a little off, and it's great.
Hey, Aaron. Is it downloading yet?
I tried. So I hit buy, and it goes, "Hey, guess what? It's on sale right now. So you're getting $5.60 off because it's a launch week sale." And I went, "Great." And then it said, "Hey, you've got some kind of coupon, so it's another $14 off." I said, "Cool." So I'm paying like $8 for this thing. Then I slapped my card in there, and it said, "We can't take this. You're going to have to talk to your card provider." And then it ate my coupon.
Oh no!
Which is fine because I didn't know
you had it anyways.
I didn't know I had it anyways, so it's like it's fine. I'd rather get more money, but I don't know why it's not taking my card.
Huh, is it Canadian? Is that why? Is it the?
No, I think the game store did like processes in Canada. Yeah. Canada bucks. So,
yeah, I had one of the $10 Epic coupons left over. So yeah, I got Ooblets for $10.
This is my first purchase on Epic Game Store. Everything else has been the free stuff.
The opening line to the game is like, "Your life has been a toot."
Yeah,
like the opening line. Yeah.
It really has been. Yeah.
I did get Journey to the Savage Planet too. That's a really cool game I didn't know anything about that until I started playing it. I was like, "Oh, this is actually really good. I like this a lot."
So that was the that's by Typhoon Studios. Only ask me how I know that because I just managed to search for it. But it looked really cool. I remember seeing it for the first time. I forget where I saw it and how long ago it was. I remember seeing it for the first time and thinking, "God, this game looks really cool." Because there was another, Planet Alpha, I think is what it was called, which is sort of like a 2D side-scrolling, another world style. Out of this world, other world style game.
Yeah.
But it was modernized, you know, so this whole living planet and stuff. And when I saw this, Savage Planet, I thought, shit, it almost looks kind of like that, but in 3D, and it has this cool FPS, you know, look to it. And, God, it looks really cool. It looks cool.
It's got a great aesthetic.
Nice. All right. Yeah, you may be convincing me to pick up more junk now. Thanks, guys. I just got a 9-year-old game, and you're going to get me to buy others. Sorry, 8-year-old game.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Holy crap.
Oh, man.
We willed him back into existence.
We were just talking shit about you before the show started.
Wow. Real glad that I didn't get a chance to listen to the opening, man.
No, holy shit. We're like, real talk, is Sam dead? Yeah. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing good. Things have just been real, 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 real busy. Because, you know, everything changes.
By the hour, especially in your field right now with all the craziness.
Yeah, I flushed about 2 months of work down the toilet earlier this week. So, it's been going great.
Oh, man. Well, you just missed it. Aaron and I have not really been playing anything. JJ and Zach just started talking about Ooblets. And some VR Oculus Virtual Boy stuff. And we were going to transition, I guess, basically into Ghost of Tsushima. But if you have been playing something that's not Ghost of Tsushima, let us know what that is.
Well, I haven't played it, but I have observed my partner playing Ooblets, or
however you say it.
And it's adorable. And, you know, I actually lie. I turned it on for about 30 seconds to make sure you could have two different save slots, because that was going to be a real problem. And you can. Good news. You can.
Awesome. Awesome.
So don't worry about that. If you have a partner who also likes to play cute video games, you'll be all set. I also did play.
Oh, shit. I got the Epic coupon.
What?
The $10 off Epic Games coupon. I don't know how I got it, but sure, I'll take it.
Okay.
Everyone got one, and it doesn't expire for ages. Yeah, so. Yeah.
I did also play about an hour and a half of Tsushima last night. I don't know how far you guys got in that discussion already.
Just starting with you, man. You're the first person to talk about it. So.
Okay, cool. Let's I'm going to start it. One, very, very solid opening. Although it does follow the Sony premise of, I'm going to do this. No, you should do that. No, I'll do this way. So that was fun. And also, hey, who decided that R2 was going to be the button to mount your horse? Because that has literally never been a button to mount anything in any game ever. You know what two buttons are very common to get in or out of a vehicle or onto a horse? Either triangle or square. Both of those buttons are your attack buttons in that game. My horse has gotten a blade to the mouth at least 10 times, and I've barely played.
Oh, God. This sounds wonderful now. Now this, forget Ooblets. Right. This sounds adorable.
Otherwise, the rest of it so far have been really great. When they explain the reasoning behind why the wind is what navigates you, I was like, that's
so sick.
That's incredibly clever, and also like good on you guys for setting that up that way. And just being like, oh, it's the cool wind. It's not anything else. Don't worry about it. So that's been fun. I've been enjoying it. I don't know if you guys played any more than. I mean, I went and did like one side quest, and that was about it.
So, Zach, you've been the one that's really been
jumping
in. Tell us your Ghost of Tsushima. First of all, were you up all night playing it? Because I was following your tweets. I was following your Discord posts with Corey.
I stay up to like, I think, 4 or 5.
Oh, my God, bless you.
That's awesome. So I did a lot of just walking around today when I was playing. There's this cool mechanic called standoffs where like you see a dude and you like get off your horse, you're like, hey, come over here, and like the first dude will come and you gotta like get your hand on your sword, and then when he's about to attack, you go in and slice him, and you like go and attack his friends and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So like I've been like I'm like so involved in this game, I'm like role playing every situation.
Oh, sweet.
So it's just like I'm being real safe and like ching ching ching, blocking everything perfectly and like swooping arrows to the side and like cutting dudes up, and then I'll take the blood off my sword, and then I'll bow, and then I'll put the sword away, and I'll call my horse, and I'll keep going. Like, I've just been doing that constantly, and it's so fun.
So when Sam and I first saw this game, when we sat in the Overflow Theater, remember that, Sam, at E3, they sent us to an actual movie theater to watch this, with that disastrous E3 Sony had, their last one. We watched we're watching the demo, the live demo, and I turned to Sam, I'm like, what's happening here? Because the guy who's playing is just, you know, they're just kind of staring at each other. It's like this weird samurai, this shogun standoff. And I'm like, what is he doing? But hearing you explain, and I've heard of a couple other folks say similar, it's not a hardcore action game. It really is this. You are a shogun. You are this samurai, I should say, whatever.
Yeah, you're like, it's
there's code and there's conduct that you have to
it's really methodical. And I mean, the game is about breaking down that kind of idea of thinking. Like the main character, he's been trained to be a samurai, but now there's this like huge oppressive invading force, and like he can't face that front on. Like he has to figure out ways to like sneak around and like be sneaky, which are things that are against his code. So you get to like learn certain ways that go against his character, which are really cool. I don't want to spoil stuff because there's there's some things that happen in the gameplay that are like flashbacks that I didn't expect. They're like really cool. But yeah, it's the game contextualizes the story and the history of it really well. And there's just so much that you can just do. Like, I mean, there's so much you can do in the sense that there's a lot to like collect, but unlike a lot of other open world games, they're kind of important things to get. Like, and they build your character. So like, you'll do a quest and you'll unlock this skill and this like this charm, a charm you can put on like your sword. It'll say like, oh, you can block axe attacks, or you take less damage if your health is at 50%. So you get charms, but you like unlock skills through like doing smaller like quests and stuff, and you get armor sets through that too. And the armor sets are all like different tool sets that you can use. So instead of being like a negative, like, oh, you're slower, you can't roll, blah, 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 it's like, oh, you have more armor. And then there's like an adventurer set that allows you to select like shrines that give you more health or like stamina, like only when you're wearing that outfit. And when you're close to it, the controller will like shake because there's no like small circular maps for you to look at. Like, you have to open your map and look. But the way you navigate the game is with the wind, right? Mm. So the wind kind of pushes and shows you where to go. So like you'll pick something on the map, put the map down, and the wind will just like flow. You're like, okay, so I gotta go that way. And then you can swipe up on the touchpad and it'll show you where to go. So you can pick these like shrines to look at that aren't on the map, but the game will direct you there with the wind, and the controller will vibrate to let you know, hey, there's something around here, like look. So it makes searching for stuff fun and interesting, unlike a lot of open world games where it's just like a like, oh, here's this dot, gotta go here. Oh, there's this dot, gotta go here. There's question marks for places to go, but like the shrines for health, stamina, like there's little fox shrines that you find, and a fox will like lead you to like a temple for you to bow to, and like stuff like this. Just like a bunch of stuff like that. There's like always small puzzles and ways to navigate. You have to get through stuff. But yeah, it reminds me a lot of Breath of the Wild in the sense that it's more restrained and held back. Yeah, it's super neat. And I think people saying that it's Assassin's Creed are wrong. It's not like Assassin's Creed at all. Like it can feel like it, but it's like this game has like brevity to it and like a soul to it that the Assassin's Creed games don't have. Because they feel like, oh, you're so cool, you can be in this historical place, let's go and kick some butt, and oh, look, there's the Egyptian mummies, it's so cool, right? It's like, yeah, it's cool, I guess. But like, this is like, it feels real. It feels like a real historical moment. This dude, like, trying to figure out, like, do I become the ghost, or do I keep the samurai way? And it's super neat. I'm really enjoying it. And the English dub is really good. So, because the Japanese dub was kind of like the flaps are off. I was like, oh man, this sucks. But then I went to English and it sounded good. I was like, okay, whatever. But yeah, I've like played maybe 10 hours and haven't even touched maybe like 10% of the map. There's like three huge sections and I haven't even touched like 10% of the first. Well, so wow. It's chunky. It's a big game. So
that is awesome. I mean, it's a phenomenal swan song for the PS4. It really what it looks like. It's funny because I didn't have a lot of faith in the game when they first showed it. I will admit that. I looked at the state game and I'm like, wow, it just looks like Assassin, you know, Samurai's Creed. I mean, I thought doesn't look like anything, you know, beyond what I want to play. I was way more interested in Last of Us 2 and other things that they had showed, you know, Final Fantasy 7 remake, obviously. But this turned out to be something just from the little bits that I've read and some of the videos that I've watched that what you guys are explaining right now, just the whole wind thing. I'm like, I didn't know any of that. And that makes me drool to think about it.
And it's like,
I might be drooling right now. Yeah.
The team, like, it shows the team did a lot of research. Like, I'm a huge Japanese, like, history nerd. So, like, all this stuff is, like, so interesting to me to see how well they've done their research. Like, because a lot of Japanese culture is very Shinto-based, like, very, like, respecting, like, the land, the nature, blah, blah, blah. And it's really cool to see how they've applied those, like, mindsets to little things for you to do in the game. Like, I found a dead body on the road, and I bowed to it just because I was role-playing this samurai. I was like, I'm gonna touch this body on the road. And the guy said, like, he said, you might have died alone, but you're not alone in spirit. Like, he said that because I bowed to him. Like, there wasn't a prompt. There wasn't anything. Like, I just did it. And it's just like this, like, cool attention to detail that they just understand the world it exists in, which is super cool. But yeah, I wanted to touch on the combat. So the combat system, you could definitely say it's like some other samurai game called Sekiro. You could definitely
never
say
heard of that
like that. It has like a stance or a bar that you can like break. But really that's only for like shielded characters. So there's like dudes with shields, dudes with spears, dudes with axes, dudes with like dual swords, and dudes with arrows. And you have all these different move sets to combat them. Like, okay, a guy with a shield is weak against a water stance, which means you can hit them faster. You got to strong attack their shield faster. And then their stance drops. And then guys with swords are weak against stone, which is like kind of like a really closed off, like kind of like stance. So doing all that during battle, switching stances, trying to learn, like, you can definitely do that, but you can also be like, hey, I want to be a ninja and like drop a smoke bomb and like assassinate dudes real, real fast too, if you want to. So it's going to be interesting to see how the game plays out. Cause I think there might be like some kind of meter, like a paragon, good guy, bad guy type of thing. Like seeing like how many ghost moves you use over how many samurai moves you use. I have a feeling there's some type of mechanic that might pop up later on because there are some times where you like stab a dude in like an assassination style and you'll hear your dad say, like your uncle say, like the way of a samurai is honorable. You have to face them from the front, like stuff like that. Like these like echoes of like your past coming to you. So I'm really interested to see where it goes. I don't think the story is anything like special. Like it's a typical like, oh, it's just big bad guys coming. You gotta fight them. But it's more personal because you're a samurai and you gotta protect your land and stuff. So yeah, it's super cool.
Awesome.
And it's gorgeous too. And it looks like a Kurosawa film, like how like that. Like all his films were constantly like moving. There's always like wind everywhere. It's like, it's cool. And there's a Kurosawa mode. I know they advertised it.
Is there really like a visual style mode?
Yeah.
Black and white. That is cool.
It does like a real black and white, and it makes the audio really mono and like I don't know like the exact word, but like tinny. Like it's like very like old school, like 60s, like bad audio quality, which is crazy.
Which is very unfair to Kurosawa because
sure, you know he didn't really want to make it that way. audio,
but mean, it's like
that's cool.
Yeah, and it kind of sucks to play that way because there's a lot of times where you're like trying to avoid archers, and you can hear the arrow coming from behind you, like shh. And so if you want to dodge it, you want to like turn around and like fling. But if you're playing in Kurosawa mode, you can't hear it because the audio is like so like bad. You're just like walking around, like
so, sweet,
yeah,
that's cool. I think it's, you know, I'd love to see more modes like that in video games where they take a genre and you know, like give me a Day of the Dead mode in Last of Us or something. You know, I mean, I don't know, thematically they're not necessarily exactly the same, but give me like genre modes or director modes in these things. I think those would be a really interesting way to get people to come back and play again, and maybe even entice folks that aren't necessarily, you know, playing these kinds of games. So
yeah,
that's awesome. Very cool. So it's out. And is there any idea of how long the game is? Anybody know how many hours it is? Probably 20, 30, more than likely somewhere on the 20.
I heard 40.
Oh, from good Lord.
So, and they said, like, yeah, I've done like 70% of the stuff, and I'm at 40 hours.
Wow. So, and here I am. I've probably got like 800 hours into God of War, and only because I stop and look at everything because everything is so pretty. I guess Ghost of Tsushima is that way. Yeah. Awesome. Well, very cool. Anything else you've been playing?
Well, I've been playing the Batman Telltale series.
Oh, jumping back into that. Okay.
I've never played it.
Really?
It's pretty good.
I like their made up continuity for the Batman stuff.
It's so sick.
They made some really cool decisions that they don't really do in the DC comics. And I really appreciate it, especially the first. The first season.
Telltale did good with I think all of the Batman was it two or three seasons that they had?
Two.
But they re-released them all as black and white games later.
Yes. How cool. And they were better, I think, than the eight Walking Dead seasons that they made, because they really milked the Walking Dead. Yeah. Which weren't bad, it's just they really milked it. So
I just played through Arkham VR again the other day. Yeah. I was like, that was a game. And I put that on, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's like 8 minutes long.
It really is. It's like 8 minutes long, and you could probably
get it into detective mode.
Yeah. That was back when, guys, you could do full Batman games in VR. I was like, oh, cool. And it's like, oh, it's literally one sitting. Yeah. You can get the thing.
It's like when they made that big deal about, like, hey, Criterion's doing a VR Star Wars game.
Yeah.
And it was just like a single mission that they slapped into Battlefront or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like based on Rogue One. It's like, well, this is cool, but there was no payoff for it because it's not like Criterion's making a Star Wars game.
Do you guys remember before Criterion took on Battlefront and some other stuff there? That they were making that sort of off-road, like, vehicles that weren't cars game that they debuted at that E3 press conference years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I was so upset that game just got, like, quietly canceled.
Yeah,
I got
it's so sad. Yep.
Did it have a name?
No.
It just kind of showed a trailer that I don't even think was real footage. I think it was mostly CGI of, like, it kind of looked like they'd taken that, not MudRunner, what was that PlayStation 3 exclusive?
Oh, MotorStorm?
Like they took MotorStorm to an extreme and, like, hey, look at this bicycle. It's not actually a bike. Like, you know, it seemed like they were doing that type of stuff, which would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
And the MotorStorm Apocalypse game was a great idea.
Yes,
just
it was.
Racing game and racing in the apocalypse. Fantastic.
Yep. Our friends at Polygon posted Criterion's next game has helicopters, jet skis, parachutes, and more. You can't find the videos of that anywhere. All the videos have been yanked for that game.
That's weird.
I wonder. But awesome. Very cool. And you've been playing Story of Seasons. You're going to be talking about that next time. So that's going to be making me jealous about that. Though Aaron jumped in with, that was already like a 45-year-old. That game is older than I was born, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, so, like, it's also, I guess I could talk about that. So, so Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town is the remake of the Game Boy Advance version of that game. But, like, they released that one on Game Boy Advance, and then they released Back to Nature on PlayStation 1, and then the Harvest Moon 64. And they're all, like, they all have the same characters.
Okay.
But, like, all different town layouts, right?
Hmm.
So this game is kind of like an amalgamation of all three of those put together. Hmm. And then they did some, like, they, like, redid the character art. They redid, like, dialogue names, what some people do. They just made things make more sense. And then they just, like, added a bunch of shit on top of it. Like, it's just like, oh, here's this and here's a bunch of stuff. So, like, at the core, it's a really, like, oh, it's a good Harvest Moon game. But, like, if you want to, like, examine the game critically, it's like a really cheap sounding, like, and feeling type of game. Like, it, I think it uses Comic Sans.
They got dog racing?
There's dog racing, and all that stuff's in there. But it's like, so they have, like, Comic Sans, or at least something that's, like, close to it. And, like, the audio recordings, like, the footsteps are so loud. And whenever it rains, there's no music. So you're just walking around town, like, duff, 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 duff. So, like, that's stupid. And, like, the watering can sound, like, you can hear a car, like, going by in the background for a split second, like whenever they're doing that sound recording. I don't know what it is. So it's like, it's like trinkle trinkle. It's so weird. And it adds this like weird kind of like charm. And then they have this like new character, this new girl is like a hippie, like a new age hippie who like wants, like, crystals in her room and stuff. But she like secretly sleeps in the inn, and she's like trying to make you like her because you're like on a farm and stuff. Yeah, but it's a weird game. There's some like weird, strange stuff that they cut corners on for whatever reason. I don't know why, but it's the first good like Harvest Moon Story of Seasons game that we've had in
sweet
a while. So
because like isn't Story of Seasons and Harvest Moon like they completely separated now? They've just Story of Seasons is the actual Harvest Moon these days. The Harvest Moon that exists now is just a sort of bastardization of the franchise.
Oh, so the company that makes Harvest Moon, Natsume, if you go to their website, it is an amazing website. It's like straight out of like 1998. It is crazy. It is so insanely bad.
All right. Good. Yeah. Good, good, good. Well, that's what we've been playing. That's a lot of games. That's a lot of good stuff there. Really nice broad strokes of content. And Aaron and I have not been playing anything, so that's always bothered. But now guess what? Aaron and I are gonna play Ooblets.
Well,
if you can get it working, Aaron. I bought it.
If Aaron's bank lets him, then
if Aaron's bank
it's not even my fucking bank, it's a prepaid card that I double checked has money on it. And they're just like, nah, it's not, it doesn't work. So I was like, well, I know the workaround, right? Because when you try to subscribe to Final Fantasy 14 with a prepaid card, half the time it doesn't fucking want to do it. So what you got to do is attach it to your PayPal account and then do your transaction through PayPal, and it charges the card. That's what I've been doing for like the last 10 minutes is getting this fucking card set up on my PayPal account. And then it went, nah, PayPal doesn't recognize your card either. And I'm just sitting over here like, what the fuck? So then I was like, well, fine, fuck you then, Ooblets. I'm going to buy a Harvest Moon game because I can hear them on one ear talking about it. And then I checked, and it's like, no, that game's $59.99. It's only a $50 card, so I can't fucking buy the Harvest Moon game.
he's becoming a cranky old man now.
Okay, so do you guys want to talk about the blowing mechanic on the new controller?
Oh, let's get into the news and talk about the DS coming back.
Yeah, baby.
All right, news.
Let me show you how little news there is. Here's my top story of the week.
The only story he has, yeah.
No, I got.
Oh, okay.
I got two. Reggie Fils-Aimé. He joined Rogue Games as their strategic advisor, or a strategic advisor.
Yeah. He has more jobs in retirement now than
he does.
He's out there teaching. Now he's a strategic advisor for a mobile company.
He's what is it? He has the GameStop thing that he's still like on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's on the board of the New York Video Game Critics Circle. Yeah. Anyway, so that's a guy doing stuff. And good on you. We love you, Reggie. Please don't come on the show and yell at me.
But come on the show.
Absolutely.
And yell at him.
The other story I have was almost the biggest story that I could find. Summer Games Done Quick 2020, their schedule is up for next month.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So you can check that out with plenty.
There are some good, because I looked at the schedule. I can't. It's totally drawing a blank now. But there's actually some really kind of interesting choices this year. Obviously, everybody's playing from home, so they're weirdly expanding their reach a little bit.
Yep. They got a lot of they got a lot of games you don't really tend to see. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of runners you don't tend to see, which is awesome. That's in a month. That's in like 29 days. So you got plenty of time to take time off work or schedule time off work and figure that out with the schedule. It'd be like, I want to see them play Secret of Mana, so I'm going to take off.
Yeah. Streets of Rage. I'm looking at the schedule now. Here we go. Shovel Knight, King of Cards. Let's see. Yeah, Secret of Mana. Millennium Racer. I don't even know what the fuck that is. Yeah, but
I want to see Revolution play Freedom Planet.
This is a good one, right? Jimmy Neutron versus Jimmy Negatron. So that's what I want. Adventures of Lolo 2. Oh, JJ, that might be you and me might be watching that one for sure.
Yeah.
Power Blade. Oh, that was a great NES game. That's awesome.
Is there a 12-hour Final Fantasy speed run?
Who knows?
Probably. Final Fantasy VII Remake's in there.
Ooh, is it? Yep, there it is. Yep. At 10:05 p.m.
Any percent normal, and it says it's going to be 10 minutes, or the setup for it's 10 minutes, but there doesn't seem to be any length on it. Mm-hmm. Five hours and 20 minutes.
Okay.
I saw 7 hours and 20 minutes for that one.
Is it? Yes, you're right. 7 hours and 20 minutes.
Craziness. There you go. Awesome.
Yeah. Horizon Zero Dawn's in there, too.
Well, okay.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Homie D Clown is in there as well.
Do you think? Do you think Ghost of Tsushima is going to have like no bow speed runs?
No bow speed runs.
0% no bow. 80%.
They may have a 100% respect and honor speed run because that would probably take longer.
Yeah. You've just officially named this episode to no bow speed runs. Okay.
Where's the Death Stranding speed run?
Yeah. We're Death Space. Yeah, there you go.
It is not on the schedule. I just checked.
Is there a speed run for Death Stranding? Like, what's the plan for Death Stranding right now?
I looked this up the other day. I want to say there's an any percent speed run of Death Stranding. Like 5 hours and 50 minutes or something?
Is really good considering how big that game is.
Yeah.
I'm checking right now on speedrun.com.
I bet you they run it like my UPS delivers packages, which is to toss them every five until they get to their location.
Any percent.
It doesn't matter. Any percent.
Well, you got a corner of the cardboard box your package came in. Congrats, it's delivered.
We are at any percent no bow speed run.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, Death Stranding, the very easy any percent speed run is the world record is four hours and 43 minutes.
Hmm. Wow.
I'm excited to see what the PC version brings out.
Yeah.
Hey, what else you got news wise, my friend?
That's it. That's what I got. That's all.
There's the new No Man's Sky expansion coming out.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's no more news.
Dead Space.
Yeah, No Man's Dead Space.
Man's Dead Space. So that's, what is it called again? What was that expansion called?
Desolation.
Desolation.
I own that game somewhere. I'm almost positive, and I couldn't tell you a fucking thing about that game.
I bought that game when that first came out and was just like everybody else, was kind of disappointed because it was so hyped up. But everybody tried to get to the center of the universe. Every planet was the same. And then they, like a year later or whatever it was, they released that big, massive update. So I had played No Man's Sky. I got as far as I could. And finally, I said, I'm kind of done playing it.
It's been a nonstop sort of like constant barrage of updates at this point. It is such a fucking good game now.
It's so good. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Corey's hopping in now, and Corey's giving us trash in the comments here.
Let me tell you about No Man's Sky. So I wanted to see if I owned it on Steam, but I've got such a big library that I only see games I have installed, which that obviously isn't. So I went to the search the store page, and I typed in No Man to see if No Man's Sky would pop up. And it did, but not before One Punch Man, a hero nobody knows, popped up for $80 Canadian. And that is a One Punch Man looks like a fighting game with mixed results.
Yeah. So I bought that No Man's Sky. I played it for a little bit, and then I was ready to sell it. I think it was only going for like $10 when marketplace, whatever. And then they announced and released the expansion, and it immediately jacks that price up to like $50. I had people sending me messages on marketplace with like, bro, I'll give it to you. You only asked for like 40. I'll give you 45 for it. I'll give you 50 for it. I'm like, oh shit. Wow. All of a sudden it's popular. I mean, it's still available in stores, but it wasn't actually, it wasn't available in stores at the time because they hadn't reissued it yet. So
yeah, man, and it's got VR now too.
Shit, that game got everything put into it.
You can go underwater. Yeah. You can do all kinds of shit now. It's crazy.
So my experience with that game is I bought it on PS4 when it first came out, and then I played it for like a bit, maybe 2 or 3 days, like straight almost. And then I got a refund for it on the PlayStation Store, which is really hard, which is super hard to do because they're not known to like.
Yeah.
So then I did that, and then I got Deus Ex, like the new one that
Mankind Divided, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then, but then I recently got both those games actually kind of at the same time. Ironically, it's kind of weird. So I got them again on PC, and they're both completely different games on PC. But so No Man's Sky is like, it's crazy. It's definitely probably like the best story of like this like downtrodden person coming back to like win like a tournament type of experience that we have. Like it's like Final Fantasy 14 kind of like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they turned it around 100%. It was so toxic.
Yeah, they did. And then they did. Very cool. Anything else news wise? Oh yeah, there is news. You can blow into the PlayStation 5 controller. Jeff Keighley. Did you guys, anybody watch that stream? I think I saw like a couple GIFs, GIFs or whatever out of it of him blowing that controller. But it's a big ass controller. It is an Aaron size controller. It may be a Duke size controller for the PS5. So Aaron.
Yeah, and this is why I'm ride or die for Sony. These motherfuckers, listen. I say I want a controller that fits in my goddamn hands. Nintendo's over here making smaller controllers. Fuck those. Xbox is like, no, we'll sell you the Duke for way more money. Yeah. And Sony's just out here like, no, we're just going to make it standard. We're just going to make a big controller just for our boy Aaron.
Yeah, there you go. I think it was beautiful. I mean, that's really what we want to do with our games is, especially in an era of COVID, is blow into a controller and then hand it to the person next to
you. It's going
to
be real. Yeah. It's going to be great for trade shows.
It's going to be great for trade shows. Yeah, literally. rest in peace, Xbox.
Yeah, they killed off the S, digital S, and the 1X.
Killing off the SAD and the 1X. I mean, good, better get it done early, I guess, right?
Does it seem super weird that they're killing off the 1X? Like, I would have figured they'd kill off the base model, obviously. Mm-hmm. The digital edition getting the axe seems kind of weird to me, but I guess if you're going to release another all digital thing, like that's probably what fits there. But like, I guess you just lose all of your marketing on the X. Is that the whole thing? Like, you can no longer claim it's the strongest console on the market and all that type of stuff. Like, is that like what the go around is? Because I would assume that Sony will transition to like selling out stock of the PS4s. Keeping the pros around, probably maybe even ditching some of the price on them and just going from there. Hmm. But it seems pretty shocking to me that like the X is alive for 2 years?
I feel like, because it was like 2017, I think.
In November of 17,
I feel like they also don't want to run into a Wii U situation since the titles are very identical.
I think naming-wise with the X, the Series X, the Xbox One X, the Xbox One All Digital Edition, and then the Xbox Series S All Digital, whatever that's going to pop out. I think you have so many naming issues. To me, for confusion's sake, they probably dropped it. They are keeping the S, the regular old S.
Yeah.
I almost wonder then if I know a lot of people said, the Series S is going to be their cheaper digital version. I almost wonder if it's no longer if it's not going to be called the Series S, like if it'll be called Series E for economy or R or something.
I think I think one of the big reasons why they did it though is they're probably going to aim for the same price points too. So it's like, oh, let's get rid of these because they're going to be the same price and we don't want to confuse people. But I think
and they don't want to sell the X at a at too much of a loss.
Yeah. And I think I read that they're just going to call the next Xbox just Xbox.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot easier to be like, hey, I want the Xbox. Oh, the most expensive one. That's obviously the new one. Okay. Yeah. That one. So, yeah.
It's like when you go buy an LG TV, like when Tom was trying to convince me which LG TV, I'm like, well, which TV do I go get? And there's the B's and then there's the C's. There's B9 and C9. And then there's the nano cell and there's this and that. He's like, oh, you got to go for the C. That's like the highest letter, right? It's further down the alphabet. And I'm thinking, okay, that makes it very easy. But if I went and just said, give me the most powerful LG TV, then they'll give me the most powerful LG TV. I think that's what they're kind of doing with the Xbox. It's smart. I think it is smart. It's like, it's really is. It's just the Xbox. You're buying the Xbox. There's a Series X, and there's going to be a Series whatever, and then down the line they'll have another Series version, but you're just buying the Xbox, and you'll get the latest version, the 2020 version, the 2022 version, or whatever.
It's going to be like phones or whatever.
Yeah. It certainly seems like they're killing off Xbox Live at this point, too, just folding it all into one, right?
Yeah.
Like,
well, so that news is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Game Pass Ultimate and Project X Cloud coming together, which was, I mean, we all kind of figured that was going to happen inevitably.
I think somebody predicted that too back during our prediction show.
Who would have predicted? I don't know.
Tom, maybe?
Was it? Maybe.
Yeah. I had always thought that they said that was going to be, like, xCloud was going to be part of Ultimate.
I thought that was already
a thing that they talked about. Like back when they were the Stadia stuff, they were like, you know, xCloud is going to be there. It's going to be there for our high-end users and stuff like that. But it's not going to necessarily be a thing. It's going to be an accessory or an addition to what the experiences they're already having. And maybe they just never straight up came out and said, hey, this is going to be part of Ultimate or part of Gold or anything like that. But I could have sworn they said that.
I can believe that they said that. On the other hand, there's no way to prove it. Nobody can ever prove it if they said it.
That's true. Yeah, there you go. Are we ready? I just thought of this now. xCloud and Game Pass sitting in the tree. MERGING. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Dad jokes.
All right, I'm leaving.
Yeah, can you just
with
hit
that? And there's now. All the new Origami King. No.
It's been a good couple hundred episodes, guys. Thank you. SideQuest will be shut down. The site will come later. Thank you for sticking through with all these years.
Go watch that Dragon's Dogma anime.
No, don't do that.
Oh, please.
I almost popped that on Twitch.
You have to climb on the side of your television while that you're watching that Dragon's Dogma anime. Yeah.
Those stills looked so bad.
Anyways,
I actually have something. So, have you guys watched the Watch Dogs 3 and the Assassin's Creed Valhalla stuff?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what Ubisoft did for press to get their hands on that is actually pretty cool. They streamed the game to people's computers. And from what I heard is it was like an actually like almost like flawless experience. Like,
oh, that's cool.
For them to play. So I think that's pretty cool. And it's also kind of positive in the year that we are existing in to hear that like Games Press can play new games fine, like being like being watched over by an employee being streamed from an office. And so, it's pretty cool to think about that.
That was something that we had talked about. I think we talked about it in one of the episodes was they're going to have to come up with some streaming way to get stuff to press. Right. Cause you obviously can't go to shows anymore and Gaikai or OnLive are no longer around. They're both bought by Sony. But with stuff like Project X Cloud and
Stadia.
Lord. Oh.
Sekiro on Stadia.
Sekiro.
I put forward an idea.
What's that?
I think the conspiracy theorists who think the coronavirus is a man-made plague and released intentionally are half right, but they're not right when they say that it's a government plot. I think Sony and Microsoft.
That's it. That's it. You nailed it.
This time last year, every conversation was, yeah, these streaming platforms, like, it's not going to work. You know, America still has bandwidth issues and data caps. And now we're all just like, yeah, of course they have that. And it's how we're all going to do everything, because you can't go out because of the plague. Follow the goddamn money, people.
We were all focused on the money. We were all focused on the 5G when we weren't looking at our TV screens. Yes.
We were focusing on the 5G and not, it's PS5G is really what we should have been focused on. All right, let's shut this down. It's 1 hour. It's been good. It's been a lot of fun. Aaron, as usual, it's been not fun at all. Aaron, as usual, thank you so much.
Hey, I'm happy to do it.
JJ, thank you. Well, Aaron, where can we find you?
You can find me yelling incoherently at the Epic Games Store because I want to buy Ooblets.
Ooblets. JJ, where can we find you and thank you?
DisneyCompendium.com.
Yeah.
Don't go to my Twitter. It's just me yelling at
the sky. Can you break dance in that game?
In what?
Ooblets.
I mean, it's a dancing game. It's the whole concept is dancing. So
yeah, but can you break much. Can I spin on my head like a b-boy?
Can I use
the ooblets like they're my Jabba walkies and fly up into the air?
Your dude's gyrate and hump the air a lot.
All right, I can live with that.
Yeah, it's the sex scenes from Viva Pinata. It's what it is. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Sam. Hey, you showed up. You're alive.
I did. I'm still world exclusive here. I managed to get out of the cave.
You didn't show up as Star Fox, and we're furious.
I didn't. Well, listen. When you come in hot, you don't get a time to set up a broadcast camera, a video link system, and all types of stuff to get a camera feed for a dumb joke to work.
Like I told them before the show started that Unreal Engine app is now available on iPhones and devices, so you can actually use that and scan your face in, and you could be Fox McCloud, or you can be maybe Gray Fox, whatever the names are. So there you go.
Star Wolf,
whatever.
Gray Fox is Metal Gear Solid.
you can still be Gray Fox. Zach, Mr. Quest, thank you for joining us and giving us your feedback on Ghost of Tsushima. It was always Call Ghost of Duty to Ghost. Me, like a Call of Duty Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah. Where can we find you, my dude?
You find me at Twitter at OKQuest, and you'll never know what I'll say, so just go ahead and follow.
That's why I follow you and JJ, because I'll never know. I never know what you guys are going to say. It's usually poisons my timeline in good ways. And you can find me at Dolly Domofsky. You can find us at SideQuesting, sidequesting.com. Hi, Tom. Hi, Corey. Wherever
hey,
you
everyone.
Are.
Yeah.
Hi, Reggie.
Is he watching?
Hi, Jeff Keighley. We'll see you in the next episode of The Side Quest. Take care, everybody. Have a wonderful Friday night.
Charles is killing my head.